Welcome to the Hooked on Fantasy Podcast with your host, Luke Sawhook.
And Hutchison Brown. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Hooked on Fantasy. I'm your host, Hutchison Brown, with your co-host, Luke Sawhook. And we've got a fantastic show tonight, part two of free agency. And we also got a couple things to talk about. Like, we were talking about quarterbacks and running backs primarily last week, but we've got another quarterback we have to talk about here because it was a really interesting trade that the Pittsburgh Steelers made. We'll get right into that in just a moment. Luke, are you ready? I mean, you're a Steelers fan. I know you're ready to talk about this one. Should we just jump right into it?
I'm dialed in, brother. I got my helmet on for those watching on. Yep. Well, for those listening on audio, I just put on a Steelers helmet that I'm not supposed to wear, by the way. This is very clearly a replica helmet I got from a store in the mall. But listen up. Justin Fields is a Pittsburgh Steeler, and I couldn't be more excited about it. And here's why. We traded for him for a conditional sixth-round pick that could turn into a fourth-round pick in 2025, depending on playing time. But here's the thing. He's not going to play over 50% of the snaps in order to turn that pick into a fourth. And even if it does turn into a fourth, I'm still extremely happy with the trade. I love getting a young quarterback who has potential to be molded into a potential franchise guy or long-term starter down the road. While we have Russell Wilson's extremely cheap vet minimum contract, it allows us for more salary flexibility at the position. We, I think, have one of the better quarterback rooms in the NFL as far as quality of backup and starter. Obviously, Russ isn't that good, right? He's not a top-end starter, but he's still, I would say, around average to just below average. Which is obviously not great, but having Fields as the best backup quarterback in the NFL, I think, is a huge, upgrade from last season for the quarterback room for the Steelers, where we had Kenny Pickett, Mitch Trubisky, and Mason Rudolph. All of those guys are backup quality, right? So to have a guy who's starting quality and a guy who is, you know, right on that cusp of starting quality, well, he has starting quality in my opinion, but right now he's going to be the backup for the Steelers. I love the deal. I think it's a very low risk, high reward move. I think especially at the trade cost, I love it. It also is worth noting, too, part of the reason why this deal was so cheap for Pittsburgh is because apparently Fields wanted to play there. So the team decided to do right by him and trade him there. There are reportedly multiple suitors. But shout out to Chicago for giving my Pittsburgh Steelers a nice deal, especially after ripped you off for Chase Claypool. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. I mean, and also, like, you know, I feel like one thing I want to say for fantasy purposes, I think you highlight everything good, Luke, for the Steelers. Like, it is a solid deal for them because it's super cheap and they probably have one of the better quarterback rooms in the NFL now with those two guys. But I want to talk about for fantasy for a second. I think everyone's assuming Russell Wilson's the starter for week one. And if I had to bet money on it, I would bet money on Russ too. But I want to just take away an argument that a lot of people are making. People keep trying to, I posted about this on Twitter earlier this week. Luke, I think you did see it. But people keep trying to argue that Justin Fields is not going to get the starting job because he was just not invested in it at all. People keep comparing his trade to the Trey Lance trade. Well, that is fair.
That's stupid.
They did not invest much in him. But I need you to tell me, what did they invest in Russ? Not only did they not trade for him, they let him get cut. They let him get straight up cut from his team. And they could have traded for him. He was on the trade block. They didn't do anything. They didn't touch him. They let him get cut. And then they signed him to, like Luke said, a veteran minimum, $1.2 million.
So he's worth more than that. And that's, well, here's the thing, Hutch, too. Fields is worth more than that. They just had no leverage. Yeah, the Bears had no leverage.
They had all leverage. Everyone knew Chicago was trading Fields. Everyone knew Chicago was trading Fields.
And on top of that, the Bears wanted to trade Fields to Pittsburgh, which was his ideal destination. I think on the open market with no like leverage on the side of teams trading for Fields, let's say Caleb Williams didn't exist, they probably could have got at least a fourth round pick for him, I think. Fourth or third, somewhere in that ballpark. I mean, Mac Jones went for more. You know what I mean? Sam Howell and Kenny Pickett went for more on the open market. There's no way Fields wouldn't have gone for at least similar value to those deals of Howell and Kenny Pickett. The only reason he went for so little was because, one, his contract situation is coming up here soon, and two, no leverage at all on the side of the Chicago Bears. I do agree with most, Hutch. I think Russell Wilson will absolutely be the week one starter for the Steelers unless Russ gets outplayed by Fields by a mile in camp and preseason, which could happen.
Could happen.
It's a little odd, but it definitely could happen. But what I expect it to be is kind of a similar situation to, like, you know, most bridge veteran quarterbacks and rookie quarterbacks kind of a thing. I'm not saying that they're going to like transition
I would agree.
To the season, but I think if Russ plays poorly, they could turn to Fields and be like, all right, go give us a spark out there, start a few games. And I think they're ultimately going to try to groom him to be their long-term starter sitting behind Russ for the season.
I would agree too, because when you look at next year's Justin Fields' fifth year option, and it's going to cost a lot of money to take up that fifth year option, or they would have to extend it to a contract. So looking at that, Fields is going to have to get some starting reps, because if the Steelers were to not give him any starting reps and then have to make a decision for his fifth year option, that just doesn't make any sense. They're going to
I think they're going to decline it no matter what.
I think they'll decline it, but then he'll be a free agent, in which they'll have to give him some sort of deal if they want to keep him. So I feel like they're going to have to make a decision next offseason where they keep him or not.
Here's the game I think they're playing. I think they're going to play the game of, if I was a savvy NFL GM, which I'm not, I think that they are going to let Fields sit behind Russ and groom him as the heir apparent to the quarterback situation in Pittsburgh.
Eventually he'll take over.
Right. I agree. But what they're going to do is they're going to say, hey, we're going to give you this deal, but it's going to be at a cheaper price tag because he didn't start. You know what I mean? So I think they're going to be able to get a good deal on a long-term contract out of him if they want to.
That's fair. They could try to do that. I just feel like it would be really, really risky for them to make a decision on a contract with Fields if they don't see him play football for them.
Yeah,
for
I trust that's a really
– it could end up being smart, but it could end up blowing in your face. Like, if they give him a two-year solid contract – and then he goes out and sucks, like, that's problematic for their team, because that just sets
them
back.
I'm okay rolling the dice, one. And then two, I think that he's going to start a game this year at least. You know, I mean, just odds alone with bumps and bruises, inconsistent quarterback play, whatever it's going to be for Russell Wilson. Hopefully he stays healthy and he starts all 17 games or whatever, right? But that's just not the nature of the NFL. You know, backup quarterbacks are needed a lot of the time. And I think that Justin Fields will definitely get on the field this year with some, you know, starting reps. It's just a matter of when and what that looks like. But I'm very interested to see how it works out long term with him in Pittsburgh. I think the team is taking, again, that low risk, high upside shot on him to maybe be a long term guy. If it works out, I definitely see them trying to pursue that. But if not, it's a quick, hey, it didn't work out, let's move on here. But I like the signing, or sorry, the trade regardless, a lot.
I would agree. Yeah. So you ready to move on to these wide receivers then?
I absolutely am. Let's start off with one of the most disgusting contracts I've ever seen. Respectfully, Calvin Ridley,
brother. Yeah, it's pretty bad.
First of all, I would like to congratulate Calvin Ridley, because he just robbed the Tennessee Titans. His agents did a hell of a job. Listen, again, no disrespect to Calvin Ridley, fantastic player, but I think the Titans way, way overpaid here for a guy who is, how old is he, 30 already?
He's 29, I believe.
I think he's going to be 30 before the season starts, is what I meant to say. This contract gave him the second most guaranteed money out of any wide receiver contract in the NFL, which is absolutely absurd given his age. I just don't really see what the Titans are doing here. They're going all in on adding these veteran, like, stud pieces with DeAndre Hopkins, Calvin Ridley, Tony Pollard, who's had a pretty good career, but they still have Will Levis and just an okay defense. They have missing pieces. They're a team that I think is in need of a retool. But I think they're trying to surround Will Levis with good talent, which is fair. But I feel like they're going too all in on aging veterans when their team is not in a place to win now.
Yeah, I would agree. The Tony Pollard signing really confused me, honestly. Like, it just didn't make sense for their backfield either, because they have, like, a same similar back in Tajay Spears. And the Calvin Ridley signing, well, I understand they need wide receiver help. That was definitely a bit of an overpay for Ridley. And I confirmed Ridley will be turning 30 on December 20th. So a little bit into the 2024 season, so he'll be turning 30. But here's the thing, you know, you comment on Will Levis. And I want to talk about that for fantasy real quick, because something I was thinking about a lot today that I wanted to take away, I'm going to kind of steer us in a little bit of a different direction. I've heard a lot of people talking about, oh, this offense is just going to be bad because Will Levis is just not great. This offensive line is terrible. And, you know, we don't love the options in this offense. But something I learned last year in fantasy that I needed to keep in my mind is that uncertainty doesn't always equal bad. Like, there are
uncertainty. I love
what's
it.
That uncertainty. I love uncertainty. Uncertainty presents potential. And when we hear the word uncertain in the fantasy universe, it's usually used in a very negative light. Like, we usually use the word uncertain when it's negative. We use potential when there's upside. But people sometimes forget, when there's uncertainty, there is plenty of upside. We saw many, many scenarios last year. I mean, you talk about Rashad White, James Cook, two players, running backs that kind of won your fantasy leagues, where there were so many concerns around them of how they're going to be in their offenses. And they both did fantastic for fantasy football a lot of the season. But I'm talking about the Titans offense. Everyone says they're uncertain. A lot of people are assuming that Will Levis is going to be bad. What if he's not? Like, I was never a believer in Will Levis as a prospect. I thought he looked okay this year. He did show some flashes, but I thought the overall okay rookie season. What if he has a second year breakout? What if the Titans are surrounding him with talent to get him to his second year breakout? What if they're trying to make him his franchise quarterback? Because this dude has a legit second year breakout. There's probably going to be a lot of value had on this Tennessee offense. So if this Tennessee offense is very doubted because there's a lot of uncertainty and these guys are going cheap, I'm going to invest because Calvin Ridley's a talented player. We saw it last year in Jacksonville. I feel like it was just got so unlucky with for Calvin Ridley because Trevor Lawrence missed him on so many deep throws. And yeah, there were a couple catches where it was like 1 foot away from the sideline or 1 foot away from a touchdown. There was in that Kansas City game, there were like three catches for touchdowns that were all like 1 foot inbounds, 1 foot not. Like I remember that game like yesterday. It was just ridiculous how unlucky that was. But anyways, I think Ridley is still a really talented receiver. You got D-Hop. While he's not still, you know, the D-Hop of old, he's still got a solid talent. Tony Pollard, Tajay Spears, great pass catcher out of the backfield. I think that there is a chance that Will Levis has that step forward and provides us a lot of fantasy value. And a lot of people out there are assuming there isn't because there's uncertainty. So I just wanted to put it out there that uncertainty doesn't always equal bad. Uncertainty gives us potential. So if these Titans players are going way cheap and you're drafting near their floor, just take advantage, even though it sounds kind of gross.
No, I absolutely agree. I don't mind Will Levis at all. I think he has the tools to be really talented. I think the Titans are trying to do a thing that I like with young quarterbacks is give them weapons and kind of not give them an excuse. You know what I mean? Like, hey, listen, you have Hopkins, you have Ridley, you have Pollard. Let's make it happen here. And I think he can. You know, he has a really nice arm. I think he definitely has the tools to get the job done. It's just a matter of putting it together. Regardless, I don't mind the Titans doing this as an organization. I just think it's a bit risky with how aggressive they're being with their money.
They're,
I don't like that contract.
They're trying to be win now and they are not. I think it's kind of interesting the way they've built their team this year. I think it's very, very interesting. But Will Levis takes that step. Like they could, especially in that division they're in, they could like be competing for it at least. Like they could definitely be there. But let's actually move to another young quarterback. Let's move to Deontay Johnson heading to the Carolina Panthers on a, I believe, no. What was the deal? There's a trade, obviously, yes, but how many years did he have left on his contract with? I think it's only 1 year, right?
I'm not sure. They also might have extended it. I don't remember off the top
of my head. They might have extended. I don't remember seeing an extension, but I'm pretty sure he was only have 1 year left on his contract with the Steelers anyway.
I hate this trade for the Steelers. I just want to preface that immediately. I hated this trade for the Steelers.
Terrible trade.
I really did not enjoy our return. I think we got a decent DB2, corner two, alongside Joey Porter Jr. and a sixth round pick for Deontay. I really would have preferred a draft pick here. I think that he probably would have fetched at least a third rounder on the open market, probably around a third or fourth, third. I would be happy with a third. I don't love this return. I think Deontay Johnson's a very talented route runner. I honestly think the reason the Pittsburgh moved on from him is he just wasn't a good locker room fit. Coach Tomlin's always had this ceiling saying about he wants volunteers, not hostages. I think Deontay was kind of leaning more towards the more toxic hostage mentality in terms of the city, the cultural fit, which is totally fine and fair. You know, people have, you know, different preferences on where they want to play. But I do really like this for Bryce Young. I think this is a great move for the Carolina Panthers. I think Deontay is going to be immediately the best weapon they have on this offense. He can be a guy who can be your outside wide receiver one. You know, he can be the X. He can get open. He can run every route on the route tree and do it at a high level. I think it's the exact guy that the Panthers are needing to drop into this offense for Bryce Young. And they're obviously going to add more through the draft or maybe even another, you know, depth signing here in free agency. But this wide receiver room, this cast of weapons in Carolina went from really gross to slightly less gross with Deontay. I think he's going to be really good for fantasy football this season. He's going to be a target hog, as we saw in his earlier years in Pittsburgh. I think we're going to see that again this year in Carolina. I'm definitely going to beat on him in fantasy football. I think regardless of ADP, honestly, I don't see how myself. I'm pretty bullish. I think he's going to easily see over 100 targets this season in Carolina. And I'm in on a Bryce Young bounce back. I believe in the talent still. I don't think it's time to write him off. He was in a horrible situation last year. And I think Deontay really helps him.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more that Deontay Johnson is going to be a target hog in Carolina. I mean, just remember, Adam Thielen saw 137 targets this past year. And in the second half, he was nothing. Like in the first half, he was great. In the first half, he was great. In the second half, when you look at the numbers, when you even watch him in the second half, he kind of fell apart. Like he just wasn't that same guy in the second half. Deontay Johnson, if he sees 137 targets, I mean, he's going to be a monster of fantasy. The last, you know, the three seasons, He's in 2020 through 2022. He saw 144, 169, 147 targets in all three of those seasons. He was a top 30 receiver for a PPR. One of them wide receiver 21, one of them wide receiver 8, and one of them wide receiver 30. And if you're telling me that he's this guy in this offense, and Adam Thielen saw 137 targets, Deontay Johnson's easily going to eclipse 140 targets in this offense. And with Bryce Young, the quarterback, potentially taking that step again, I want to go. Uncertainty leaves us potential. A lot of people are doubting Bryce Young. And obviously, I'm on the side where I'm really concerned about him. I really am. I'm not fully in on the Bryce Young bounce back train. But if he does bounce back after everyone assumes that he's not going to be great, that will make Deontay Johnson's value at ADP even better. So I'm looking at Deontay Johnson as a really good value in drafts currently. Out of free agent wide receivers, he is one of the ones where I'm most excited about, honestly. Like, I think this might be the most exciting for me.
Yeah, I think this is one of the better landing spots. But going to another guy here, I thought had a really good landing spot was Hollywood Brown going to the Chiefs.
Dude, this is a good one.
This is honestly really good news for Rashee Rice long term, in my opinion.
100% agree. He's going to be
really solid long term here. But Hollywood Brown, I think, will be a top 24 wide receiver next season. I know the target share might not be as juicy as some people might like, but playing with Patrick Mahomes, this guy has the speed. He can play on the outside. We've seen him have these explosive fantasy games before on a consistent basis in Arizona with Kyler Murray. I think this is huge. I think Kansas City is going to get the most out of him. And this wide receiver room for the Chiefs is going to be the best one they've had in a long time. I'm very excited to see what they can do. And I think Hollywood Brown, again, definitely could be a top 24 wide receiver. I would say lock top 30 in this offense. I think Patrick Mahomes is going to return to having a dominant season through the air. Last season in the regular season, people forget, you know, he did not have his typical numbers because they were having a struggle finding their, their wide receiver room outside of Rashee Rice, who emerged kind of slowly throughout the year. By the end of the year in the playoffs, obviously he was dominant, but for most of the season, he was finding his stride. Now they have Rashee Rice, who has found his stride already, and Hollywood Brown, and Kelsey, and Pacheco, who's already established. I think this Chiefs offense is ready to explode again next season.
Yeah, I love the point you're making of how it's not going to affect Rashee Rice, because when you look at them as players, Rashee Rice is a bully on the inside. He takes those intermediate short routes on the inside in the middle of the field. And Marquise Hollywood Brown couldn't be more the opposite. He's someone that stretches the field, works on the outside, and those two will pair perfectly together, And then you got Travis Kelce, another dominant force at tight end. So Marquise Brown will be a great option for the Kansas City Chiefs offense. He's going to be what, like, he's going to be what they wanted, like MVS or one of these outside speedsters to be. He's going to be that and just so much better. And as a result, for fantasy, when he's healthy, a big concern for him is his health. He has not been able to stay healthy a lot of his career. But when he's healthy on that Chiefs field with Patrick Mahomes, I agree, he will be an excellent fantasy receiver. For me, it's going to depend on ADP. Like, if he is drafted as a top 24 fantasy receiver, I might be a little hesitant. Because one of the injuries,
I think he'll be right around that. I think he'll be right around that range.
You've got to be around that range. So ADP, I'm going to be a little concerned because usually at that range, there's so many wide receivers that I like. So if I'm taking a shot at somebody, I might take a shot at someone else besides Marquise Brown just because of how much injuries he's had history wise and because of the volume that could be limited in this offense. But don't hear him not saying, love Marquise Brown. I think he's going to do really good things in the city. But there are a couple concerns. Don't shoot this through the moon farther than it needs to be.
No, I agree with you. I think ADP is going to be pretty dependent here on if I'm in on him or out. But I think ultimately this is a great landing spot for his fantasy value for sure.
Wide receivers are so competitive. There's so many great ones, man. There's so many great guys.
No, absolutely. This signing is pretty intriguing to me. Mike Williams, yesterday signed with the New York Jets. I think this is fun. I like this signing for fantasy a lot. Aaron Rodgers, if he's healthy, you know, if he actually plays a full regular season game, hopefully if he can stay healthy and Mike Williams can stay healthy, two pretty big concerns with health here. But if both these guys can stay healthy, Mike Williams is one of the best jump ball wide receivers of the last 10 years in the NFL. He's dominant, go up and get a guy, big physical wide receiver. Aaron Rodgers loves those big red zone targets. I think he definitely could get 10 plus touchdowns next season if he's healthy. Plays season.
Oh yeah, 13, absolutely. 14, that's games
even. He's gonna have a nice year. I think the concern for me is, you know, the consistent target volume and receiving numbers there, but I think the touchdowns will be there for Mike Williams. And depending on cost, you could be a nice sneaky later round fantasy flex play. I like Mike Williams in this landing spot a lot.
Oh yeah, I couldn't agree more with what you're saying. I love Mike Williams in this landing spot. And honestly, I'm not
as concerned about the volume as you are. I mean, looking at his 2021-2022 seasons, he played pretty much most of the games. He saw 129, 93 targets in his first three games this past year. He saw 26. I mean, this dude was very involved in the Chargers offense as the number two. And when you look at the Packers, I mean, not the Packers. Well, I thought Aaron Rodgers for a second. The Jets offense, you got Garrett Wilson. Yeah, Breece Hall, both guys that can take some targets, and otherwise, yeah, nothing. Like, it's Mike Williams, man. If he can stay healthy, this dude will get a plenty of targets, and there's going to be a ton downfield, a lot in the red zone. It really just is about, can he stay healthy? But the problem is, I mean, not the problem, the good thing is, that's going to be baked into his ADP so much, because everyone's always concerned about that, and he's also nearly a 30-year-old wide receiver. Everyone's going to be down on him because of those couple things, and he's going to be going very, very late in drafts, so I'm willing to take the shot, because when he's healthy, when he's on the field, he could be a really good asset in fantasy. So I will take that shot every day of the week as long as it's late.
Yeah, I agree. I think as long as it's late, that's the key there, right? As long as it's late, nice upside for sure. This next move was pretty interesting to me. The Browns trading for Jerry Jeudy, if for value for the trade, was fine.
Not just the trade, the extension, though.
The trade was fine. The contract was horrible. Respectfully to Jerry Jeudy, again, horrible.
Get it.
They paid him a lot of money. I forget what it is at the top of my head, but they paid
$41 million fully guaranteed with up to $58 million in 3 years.
Yeah, that is a lot of money. Well, here's the thing. I think it definitely signifies they trust him as the wide receiver too, which is nice. But yeah, the quarterback play with Cleveland is such a question mark. His production has not been there at a high level for fantasy football pretty much his entire career. I do not love this landing spot for Jeudy for fantasy. I think that, again, him getting a nice contract is good for his value, but I don't think the production is going to be there for him to be a top-notch fantasy wide receiver. I don't even think he's going to be a top 24 guy next year. Top 30, maybe.
No, yeah, I wouldn't bet on him as a top wide receiver next year. I mean, looking at the offense he's playing, and he's got Amari Cooper, David Njoku as two primary targets in this offense. And Njoku had a tear towards the end of last season. We know he's an athletic tight end. We see tight ends like this like break out after the sixth year. We saw it with Evan Ingram, and now Njoku's doing the same thing where he had a massive breakout last year, and I feel like it's going to be extremely difficult for the coaching staff to ignore what he did this past season. And when you look at Amari Cooper, he's just been a great player ever since he's been traded to the Cleveland Browns. He was always great, you know, in Dallas and in Las Vegas. Right. Las Vegas was Oakland at the time. But he was always been a great player, but he's really broken out for the Browns as their wide receiver one. And then you have Elijah Moore, who's still hanging out, like not doing anything great, but he's still hanging out. He's still getting
some
targets. He's the
biggest loser of this deal for sure.
He, 100%. Elijah Moore is dead for fantasy. There's no hope in him anymore. Yeah. After this past season, he was pretty much dead. But this solidifies that he's completely gone. But especially if you had like a great quarterback, maybe you have some upside here, but you have, as the fantasy bowlers like to call him, Voldemort. Like, you're not going to do anything with him here. You're not going to have fantasy relevance here with Deshaun Watson as your quarterback. So I am quite concerned about Jerry Jeudy. So I would not be in on Jeudy for fantasy at all.
Yeah, I'm completely hands off there as well. But moving on to here, some of these, you know, depth guys.
The only thing I will say, like, the one thing I will say is that I went back this past year, watched the film to see, like, okay, if I'm missing something here, because the numbers didn't really prove much, but am I missing something here? He can run some good routes, man. He really still can. He can run some good routes. He can get open. So I'm going to refrain from what I'm saying. I think his cost is going to be too much for me where I'm going to be out. But if he's like dead in the water, like gone in ADP, I'm going to keep taking shots because he's a first round pick for a reason. This dude's got some talent. So if he's late enough, I will be willing to take a shot. But I'm guessing that he's going to be too high.
He's going to be too high because he's a wide receiver and two and on a nice contract. And people don't know who Jerry Jeudy is. But the quarterback situation in Cleveland's so gross. Again, with Voldemort, not a fan at all. But some of these guys here coming up are depth signings. But I think they're pretty interesting. I think namely these two, the only two left, are pretty interesting. I think Gabe Davis going to Jacksonville is kind of interesting with Calvin Ridley leaving.
No.
It's a bit of a lateral move, in my opinion. They gave him a nice contract. But he's even the wide receiver too, alongside Christian Kirk. He'll have his big games. Well, ultimately, I'm not a fan of Gabe Davis anymore.
If he can't do it with Josh Allen Buffalo as the wide receiver two next to Stephon Diggs, he won't do it in Jacksonville. I will say, though, for the Gabe Davis signing, dude, Christian Kirk is a big beneficiary of this, because if they were if they pass on a wide receiver in the first round of the draft, like, dude, Christian Kirk could legit be a wide receiver one in fantasy. He was a wide receiver one in 2022. He's a wide receiver 11 in PPR. And this past year, when healthy, he was in the top 15 conversation. Like, if they don't add a significant piece in the draft, Christian Kirk has all the upside in the world to be a top 12 wide receiver in fantasy. And I will be all over him in drafts. He's been somebody I've been talking about high all offseason.
he feels like a guy who won't be that hot in terms of the general public name value wise. No, and I think it's going to be a significant discount. He's going to be really nice for fantasy this season for sure. This other guy I'm honestly more excited about. I'm pretty excited about Curtis Samuel to Buffalo. I'm not going to lie. They gave him decent money. He's going to be the wide receiver too there, in my opinion. I think he's going to have a solid role. I could see him being a flex guy in fantasy this season. I feel like he's going to be decent.
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing I'll say, I mean, I will say, because Dalton Kincaid, you know, first-year tight end, he looked really good. I think he might be the wide receiver too of this offense, or the second pass-catching option in this offense. I think he's going to have a really nice breakout and eventually get into that role. But Curtis Samuel signing really hurts Khalil Shakir to me. They're both similar wide receivers. When you look at the, their frames, their size, what they kind of do, they're kind of similar in a lot of ways. And I feel like Khalil Shakir kind of got hurt a little bit by this one, the Samuel contract. Yeah. So I'm not seeing tons of fantasy relevance for either of those two guys, because I think Dalton Kincaid and Stephon Diggs will dominate this target share, and then James Cook will get his as well in the passing game. But I think someone to at least monitor. Yeah, he had some relevant days in Washington.
Yeah, I think he should be an interesting guy. Again, flex, I think, is around the realm where I think he's going to live. But yeah, nothing crazy here. Moving on to some tight ends, baby. Let's talk tight ends. Let's
talk tight ends.
We have one exciting signing. That's pretty much it. Mike Gesicki to Cincinnati. It's going to be fine.
We're going to be talking about it. I guarantee you, when like week 8-10 rolls around, we're going to be talking like, Mike Gesicki might be an interesting stream this week. Like, I think that's how we're going to be talking about Mike Gesicki all season. It's like a fringe streaming tight end one. I think we'll be talking about him that way. Hunter Henry will be like a touchdown guy. If he scores a touchdown, great. That's awesome. If he doesn't, he's going to suck. I'm really worried about this Patriots offense. I feel like they're going to pass on a quarterback. I really think they're going to draft Marvin Harrison Jr. I feel like a big part of, I think there is a good chance they draft Marvin Harrison Jr. I think a big reason of why Marvin Harrison Jr. Has recently, you know, not done pro day, not done combine. He didn't do anything at Ohio State pro day. I think it's because someone has promised him a pick. I think he's met up with the team and they have promised him a pick.
I mean, there's no chance he falls outside of the top five picks unless they go five quarterbacks.
You should see some of the things people are saying on Twitter about Marvin Harrison Jr. right now after he's skipped out of his break. We're crazy.
Hey, everyone out there, listen to me. Listen to me right
now. He's not falling out of the top five, guys. He's not.
He is not falling out of the top five. I don't care what people are saying.
The Chargers will take him if he falls to five. That's guaranteed.
He will be a top five pick. I would bet my house. I don't own a house, for the record. I'm not betting anything here. I would bet my house he goes top five. Arizona will take him at four. I guarantee they will take him at four if it goes quarterback, and Arizona stays at four. If Arizona stays at four and it goes some order of Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, it's going to be Marvin Harrison Jr. at four, especially with Hollywood Brown leaving. Okay. Arizona needs a wide receiver badly. Marvin Harrison Jr. is a perfect fit there. I think it makes all the sense in the world for him.
Or they'll take Malik Nabers and then the Chargers will draft Marvin Harrison Jr. 5.
Sure, like, exactly. Order of that's going to happen. Yeah. He will be a top five pick. Prospect fatigue is at an all-time high this year. I think you liked the video I put out on TikTok last night. But, dude, it is at an all-time
high. Yeah, I saw that. That was really
overthinking
good.
Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison Jr. These guys are your quarterback one and your wide receiver one. I like Nabers. I like Jaden Daniels.
Nabers is the one beating me, man. I'm not going to lie. Nabers is good.
Come on. Caleb Williams is QB1 as a prospect, right? Listen, we're not guaranteeing that they're going to be the best players for the NFL long-term, right? It's impossible to predict that. But these prospects, as prospects, are easily the number ones in this class, in my opinion, especially Williams. He is so
good.
We got to stop overthinking this one, lads. Come on. Lock in.
I agree with you, Marvin Harrison Jr., the wide receiver one, but dude, Malik Nabers is so good.
He's so good.
I still want Marvin Harrison Jr. number one, but man, if I see people arguing it and I'm like, I don't know how much I blame you. Like, Malik Nabers is that dude. He's so good. And I wouldn't be surprised if we look back after a couple seasons and said Nabers was the wide receiver one of this class. Like, I wouldn't be too shocked, but I would still rank Harrison as one, and I'm not moving that.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. Do we care about Hunter Henry and Noah Fant resigning? Do we care?
If Hunter Henry scores touchdowns, Noah Fant, no, he's dead in Seattle. Like, there's not enough room for
him. It's sad, dude. I don't know why. I know there's other people out there like me. I've always been a Noah Fant believer, dude. I don't know what it is. I thought he was always going to be a really good fantasy tight end for a long time. Seattle kind of put a damper on things. But, man, it's dead now. The dream's over, man. The dream is dead.
Yeah, yeah, I gave up on him quick. And one last NL shout out. I want to shout out Gerald Everett going to Chicago. This does hurt Cole Kmet.
Oh, yeah.
This does hurt Cole Kmet a lot. You know, I don't know why his name is, you know, leaving me right now, but he's moved from LA to Seattle to Los Angeles. LA to Seattle, I believe to Los Angeles as well, and then to Chicago with Gerald Everett. Like, yep. This guy's been, I believe it was an OC. I'm sorry, the name is just blanking on me right now. But he's moved a lot with Gerald Everett, and I think they're going to use him in the offense a lot. And I think Cole Kmet really gets hurt by this one. So I'm putting a cap on Cole Kmet's upside for fantasy for this one. And also with Keenan Allen sign, like he's in trouble for fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, the targets aren't going to be there. He's going to need to be super touchdown dependent, which we already kind of was, 100%. To be honest. But
yeah, he kinda was
their upside still is kind of there, but I'm not going to be in on Cole Kmet regardless. It is
what I would agree. Yeah, not going to be in.
All right, guys. Well, I mean, that's free agency. I mean, there's going to be big signings that come in here or there as we continue to push on. But I think it's time next week to get in these NFL prospects, man. I think
it's time.
We're going to talk quarterbacks next week. Tune in. We're going to talk Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, JJ McCarthy, all that good stuff. Tap in with us over
Hooked
On Fantasy, baby. Let's go. Thank you so much, everyone watching live and everyone who tuned in. We have 248 concurrent live viewers right now, which is another great show back to back here. Appreciate everyone tapping in with us. Have a great night, everybody, and we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Peace.